Wedged like a grape between Brazil's gargantuan thumb and Argentina's long forefinger, Uruguay has always been something of an underdog. That's how Uruguay is described by a well-known travel guide. It is only a small country. Less than 4 million people live there. It doesn't often hit the global headlines, but one issue has kept it popping up every now and again. As part of Barack Obama's push to close Guantanamo Bay Detention Center, the outgoing US president made a deal with his counterpart in Uruguay. Six former detainees were sent to the small South American country in 2014, and the process has not exactly been smooth. Paula Ramon is the editorial coordinator with AFP Spanish in Montevideo, which is our destination for today's edition of Global Roaming. Paula, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Hi, Hamish. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Let's go back to 2014 quickly. The then president agreed to take six former Guantanamo Bay detainees as refugees. How did this deal go down in Uruguay at the time?
Yeah, it was a really long discussion, and the president, the former president Mujica, he kept telling the people that he wanted to be have a little solidarity with these guys because he was in prison before for more than 10 years. And he was really criticized because the opposition, the political opposition in the country, thought that was a kind of a political move to gain some kind of agreement or favor with the United States. The conversations were really long, like more than 1 year, and was not at the moment was not clear what were the conditions, if the United States will be available to pay for anything, or was mostly Uruguay, or what these guys will do in Uruguay, how were the transfer. But at the end, after two delays, they arrived in Montevideo in December 2014. They were kept in the hospital, public hospital, for almost 2 weeks. And then they were transferred to a house courtesy of a syndical, the labor movement. So it was a really improvised story. Like, nothing clear at the moment.
And I understand that in the middle of last year, one of the former detainees, Jihad Diab, disappeared. He finally turned up in Venezuela. In the US, the chairman of the House Foreign Affairs Committee in Washington said that the disappearance showed the Obama administration was pushing dangerous detainees to countries that it knows can't handle them. Was that the case? Why did he disappear?
Like, the Diab is like the special case of the six men that are living here. His mother is Argentinian. So, because of the South American laws, he should travel abroad easily. In South America, you can cross every border without your passport. They don't have passport. They have like an Uruguayan document, travel document. And he was really since the beginning. He's the only one with family abroad. And he was complaining since the beginning because he wanted to reencounter with his family, and this was not possible at the time. In fact, it's not possible still right now. And he was complaining for, like, I don't know, over 6 months, asking the government of the United States to send his family to Uruguay. This was also a discussion, and then one day, suddenly, he disappeared. And this, in my opinion, this didn't show like a kind of danger for the country. This showed like Uruguay government wasn't prepared at all for this kind of challenge. And Uruguayan government keeps saying that they have all the right to move in South America or to travel abroad, whatever they want. But they lost the track of this guy, and they just found him in Venezuela in the Uruguayan consulate. And he was detained in Venezuela for almost 1 month, I think, in a political prison in Venezuela, in Caracas, and under unknown conditions, he was kept outside in Caracas, and then he was sent back in a government plane from Venezuela to Uruguay. And until this day, we don't know what really happened there. So it's more about, it's not, I don't think it's about the danger. I think it's about the conditions that Uruguay is offering to these guys. Like, they don't handle really well the situation, I think.
You keep in touch with some of these guys that have been settled in Uruguay. How have they coped with the transition? I mean, I know some of them have protested outside the US embassy, demanding better housing, demanding that they be able to bring their families to Uruguay. Have they settled into the country easily?
All by the job are making it through. Like, this is a secular country. Uruguay is a secular country, so there's a really small, this could be easier for them, but there's, on the other hand, there's a really small Muslim population, just like 1,000 people. And it's hard for them, like, half a community to engage. But they are learning Spanish pretty fast. Three of them speak English very well. One of them is studying in a business school. Another one is like create a little sweetener company. So they are like they are working. They are trying to engage with the society, but it's really hard in the economical side because they don't have incomes, really high incomes. They have an agreement with the government that provides them the rent for 2 years, and the government also gave them a small salary for like almost $600 per month, also for 2 years. And they said they feel that this is not enough, and also it's hard for them to find jobs in the capital. It's a small capital. And it's not been easy, but four of them are working right now in small jobs. Five of them are married right now. Two of them have boys, kids in here. So still, two of them keep saying that they want to leave the country. They are thinking to go to Brazil.
Okay.
This is the most obvious option, but it's an improvised situation for all of them. It's not an easy, it's still not an easy situation after 2 years living here.
Paula Ramon, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Paula Ramon is the editorial coordinator with AFP Spanish in Montevideo. It is 16 minutes to 7. You're listening to RN Breakfast.